something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we talk Jays,
we talk elections,
and we have our top five spooky Halloween jams from a strip club in Quebec. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello there, Jonathan.
Is that Jeremy Taggart of Taggart and Torrens?
That's going to
say
me.
Fame. It's not really fame.
It's Jonathan?
Yeah, Jeremy?
Hi.
Breaking news, bud. We've announced our Maritimes dates for our tour. Tickets are selling like room temperature hotcakes.
Yes.
That's not true. In some places, they're selling well.
No, it's going to be a good time. There's no
It's going to be great.
Yes.
But we're going to the Carlton in Halifax. We're going to Vault 29 in Fredericton.
Yes.
We're going to the Tide and Boar in Moncton, and we're going to PEI Brewing Company, the business of my buddy Al Douglas. Wait till you meet Al. He's a going concern over there in PEI.
I love this. This is just ultimate. This will be so helpful to the book.
Big time. Yeah. And you like brace yourself in the Maritimes for a lot of... Now, Jeremy, Trent's father used to work with my sister's friend, Arthur, from UPEI.
So everybody will know everybody.
So what you should do is practice a lot of no way kind of reactions that can just kind of like kindling for the fires of conversation.
What if all of a sudden you hear from the back of the room the Magic Mike all mad at us?
Mr. Magic?
Yes,
what are you making fun of me for, girls?
I can just hear him all of a sudden there.
Why are you smacking me?
What's his name, Mr. Magic?
Mr. Magic. Why are you smacking me?
I hope this doesn't hurt my business, boys.
You know, it would
be... I'd hate for this to hurt my business if A starts talking legalese.
I'd like to see what you guys would do at Shining Waters. I think, he should throw eggs at us from the back of the room after 3 months of what to just do with the eggs, girls.
Let's just sign this affidavit.
I got these papers off of David. When you have maritime conversations, a lot of them start with, well, now. Well, now, you know Trent.
Yeah.
Trent's that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And there's the suck back, My sister and her friends will throw out a name from college, say like, what's Laura doing? Well, now... And then one person will say, oh, she working? Yeah, she nurse. She in Alberta. No way she married. Yeah, she divorced. She two kids. Oh, she sweet. SH apostrophe. She married? Sweet. No, she working. She homemaker. She bowling. Oh, really? Yeah, she nice.
Oh, man. Hey, it's election day.
It is. It's Monday. It's election day. It's Jays game 3 day.
Yeah. It's a big day in Toronto. It's a big day in Canada.
By the time you hear this, folks, maybe, like, it'll be in the future. Yeah. Maybe email us and tell us what the future's like.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I'd love to tell.
I'm hoping that, it seems like the election has come down to, we're not super political people, but it seems like it's Harper versus not Harper. And
yes.
Even though Trudeau has made some inroads, really it comes down to, do you want Harper again or you don't want Harper again? So vote for anybody else is a vote for not Harper. I kind of see it that Trudeau is the Jays and Harper is the Royals. And I think Canada sees it the same way.
I don't like to throw anything that I like with politicians, but okay.
I
like the Jays.
All you can really do, I mean, I come from a part of the world where people inherit their politics, right? You vote Tory because your grandfather did.
Yeah. You're not like people that are voting for a party and not the person. It's just, I don't understand the concept of that because people flip-flop and it's almost getting like sports now where there's no real loyalty after a certain amount of years. So I don't know. It's a big scene and a big, remember that scene in Woodstock when the guy who like the farmer or whatever from the town there, they ask him what he thinks about it.
Yeah.
And he says, it's a shitty mess.
It's kind of the way to describe this whole thing. But yeah. I think I am a student of dramatic writing, and I think the idea that Harper chose a long campaign because he thought the other parties would run out of money and that he might be hoisted on his petard as a result of that because it just gave Trudeau a chance to gain steam. And yeah. The just not ready, which seemed to be really effective in the early going, gave Trudeau a chance to say, really? You know what I'm just not ready for? And it was like a boomerang. Went back and hit Harper right in the face.
Yep. And
but dramatically, I kind of dig that aspect of it.
I know. And the Jays are back in the actual Rogers Centre. I still want to call it the Sky Dome because of the historic factor of Joe Carter's home run. And
well, let's talk about cold balls for a second.
Because cold balls.
Folks were saying that Colabello and Donaldson. Yeah, does that really make a difference?
Yeah, definitely. It's it doesn't go as far. It's no different than golf. Like if you're golfing in really cold air, it's the same thing. It will actually affect the distance because the ball doesn't compress as much.
But then shouldn't it stand to reason that when the roof is closed, they can hit further this time of year?
Yeah, no. The ball becomes more rabbitized with the dome being closed. Absolutely.
Right.
It's a good thing.
So we want it to be closed.
Well, because the Jays hit home runs and they are an offensive team. That's what they do best is put runs on the board. If they score 2-3 runs, they usually lose if you look back throughout the year so far. They have to kind of get 4-5 like 6-7-8 runs on the board, and that's how they've been winning ball games consistently. So you hope that Stroman can get 5-6 innings. But we're feeling the loss of Cecil. That was a big loss.
Who will be back by the World Series, it sounds like, if they make it.
Hopefully. I don't know how that's possible, but hopefully he'll be back. But it's just not having him in that 6-7 spot is a huge difference. So I hope that they can kind of just pound runs and Stroman can pitch deep into the game. But that's the thing. You never know. I mean, we'll probably see Price back in the bullpen or something crazy like that.
Well, it might feel like old news by the time folks listen, but in game 2, things were going great until the 7th. Did Gibby leave Price in too long?
I think so, because sure, they had that error with Goins where I don't know what happened, but things like that seem to happen in baseball where there's no real explanation. There's no thing that he was doing consistently. It just happened. And I think once Price started being affected, it just seemed like that. I think they had like 3 hits in a row after that. And
yeah.
I would have been quick to jump on that one just to try and put the fire out. But he was pitching such a great game. He only had 66 pitches to that point. I mean, how do you say no to that, you know?
Yeah, he's on fire, and you want it to be a happy ending for him because he's had so much trouble in the postseason, right?
Well, sure, but that's a nice side note, but they want to win the game. And I mean, that's why he came in that last series when they were down to the Rangers. You know, he came in late in that game when they were winning 7-1. Just like, what the heck are you doing? Oh, they're just trying to win. I mean, Dickey would have gotten that win. He didn't because of that, so... I don't think they care about the personality. It's just that's what was kind of odd because it seems lately Gibby will just do whatever it takes cutthroat-wise to try and keep the ball game in the W category.
It's interesting how sports writers and fans alike try to write storylines that maybe aren't even there. Like
Yeah, for sure.
Like when Price came in for RA, who was pitching well, the common theory was that they were trying to burn Price so that they could start Stroman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you buy into that? Or do you think they were just trying to win the game?
Yeah, there was zero because they were always going to be going with Stroman, I think, initially. And even Price was probably understanding to that. It's like, let me do whatever I can. And it's got everything to do with David Price saying, I want to pitch. If you need me, I'm there. And right. When that's the case, then you're going to put him in every time.
It's pretty cool. My personality and my instinct is to assume that everyone's egoless and they just want to do what it takes for the team. That's why I didn't like it when people were all up and going as Baba Ganoush, a guy who saved a million runs.
How many hits do you think that guy's stopped?
His defense has been astonishing.
Yeah.
But then they're suddenly trying to draw this storyline where Bautista was really mad at Goins, and you don't need that.
It's the same thing with Tulowitzki. It's sure he was having a bit of a drought. But he's injured. People forget the guy cracked his backbone, and
he let it slide, y'all.
Yeah, well, his left the hell do they call that bone there? The top shoulder blade.
Yeah,
just cracked via Hercules in center field, Pilar's chin.
Yeah, and he went down.
So he's probably still like hurting a little bit. I bet he's in pain. You know, I bet he's not feeling the best, but he's doing what he's doing, and he's such a great defender that it you have to think of him on that level. And the other thing is this team, even though Tulowitzki isn't performing or Goins isn't hitting well right now, that's kind of been the way all year when you expect one person, but somebody else will come in, like a Pilar or Colabello will all of a sudden be on fire.
And it's a sign of a great team, though.
You can point fingers everywhere, but the fact that it's not been everybody flailing, you know, you do have a semblance of leadership with Bautista and Encarnacion, but the other best thing about this team is offense just pops out of nowhere.
Anybody can do lineup. It.
Yeah.
If you Halloween had to look into your crystal ball, Bod.
It's Halloween coming.
I know. Just tell me real quick, who's going to the World Series?
I would love to see the Jays, and it looks seemingly like, unless the Cubs can come back, it might be the Mets. But either or, it'd be beautiful to see Jays-Cubs. Wouldn't that be spectacular?
Yeah.
But I think we'll see what happens. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I hope the Jays are still playing baseball come Halloween time.
That's what I hope.
Yeah.
Spooky, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be spooky?
It would be so spooky.
Have your girls got their costumes? We got ours last night.
What did everybody go for?
Jack picked the zombie hot dog.
Yeah. I like that.
Food seemed to be a theme with the boys. John is going to be a piece of pizza, and who doesn't love pizza?
Great costume.
Yeah. And Annalise will be a bumblebee, a little bee with the
wings.
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah.
Where did you go for costumes?
We went everywhere to have a good scene, but the best place seems to be Value Village.
Because
they get so fired up now about it that they have like a huge section.
And they even like bought the rights to Thriller. Like, they're going off.
Yeah, no, they are.
Value Village is going off.
Well, is Thriller? They're using Thriller?
Yeah. Like, it was like, what is that? And some zombies and garbage bag costumes and stuff doing the Thriller dance. Hook?
And they did a jingle. They're using someone else, too. Like,
it's Value Village. Village tonight.
No, isn't it also... everybody was kung fu fighting? Isn't that the other one?
Yeah, I think so.
Everyone's costume shopping.
Everybody wants costume shopping.
Gonna need some makeup for your face.
I love rewriting lyrics to big songs for your Halloween destination. Ba-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Hello, is it a bee you're looking for? Guess what I pounded?
What?
Orange Julius.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No
I
way.
Not to brag, but I took my family to the mall for supper.
How was it?
Well, it was a terrible experience as a consumer.
The mall?
Yeah, I was in the mall. I took my girls to my mom and my wife to the mall for supper.
And saw it there?
Yeah, I saw it there. And I'd been low-key craving one ever since we've been talking about it on the pod.
Yeah, me too, because I haven't had one since, like, the 80s, I think.
I know, and I really couldn't wait to have one again. Funny how that works.
But how much was it?
Well, it wasn't cheap.
I know. How much was it?
Like, I think I was into bucks. It for 10 bones for two of them, two smalls. And I said to the girl, so can I have an orange Julius, please? She said, sure, what kind? And I thought that was pretty self-explanatory. So I said, okay, how about one orange and one strawberry Julius? Because I remember when strawberry Julius came out, and I was like, well, guess what? We have strawberry Julius now. And she didn't really
propped up the name. It's
strawberry Julius. She didn't say anything. So I said, unless, you know, making one orange and one strawberry is a little, you know, harder for you. And she said, well, it kind of is.
Oh.
She's like, all right, then how about just two small orange Juliuses then? She's like, sure, no problem. So I was into it for $10. I got two small orange Julii.
Yeah.
And I asked her what is in them. It's orange juice from concentrate.
Yeah.
And like sugar water. That's it. Butterfly laughter. That's it. I don't even think so. There's milk.
You tried it. You tried it, and it was like just the. Did it taste like old times?
It did. But the funny thing is, my tiny roommates pounded one between them.
Oh no!
And they were like dancing on the tables and stuff. They went off. They were suddenly so fired up on the butterfly laughter.
I told you.
I was like, what is going on with these? Oh, my God. They're on the Julius.
Remember the meeting? It doesn't matter. They'll be so fired up on that sugar.
They got their Julius on.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you think next time you're there, it's like, let's go to OJ's?
I don't know. Maybe on the way out, you grab one because they'd be restrained.
Yeah, in their car seats. Like maybe some dairy in there to like thicken it, but nah. Well,
I said so, and that stuff is mixed with water, and she said, hmm. But she wasn't really interested in being there or me or making an orange Julius or especially a strawberry one. So wow. I didn't really get to the bottom of exactly what's in it. But
you
orange juice
one.
From concentrate, yeah. And you know, it's so light and frothy. It's like if you melted a creamsicle, but not all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People just crush it.
Yeah. And it does go down. I mean, I have a thing about...
It's ice cold, is it not?
Oh, yeah, it was ice cold. But we got the Tiki Ming or whatever Chinese food there is at the food court. So nice. I was a little reluctant... I didn't want to surf the Orange Julius and Tiki Ming wave all the way into my stomach. You know, you have to kind of step gently.
I like the food court family meal.
Do you know what the food court offers? Is something for everybody.
I like that Mr. Greeks.
Yeah, and there was...
tell you the story about... Burton Cummings?
No.
It was at Metalworks, and Tim was in the band, and Tim Oxford, our wonderful technical producer, he was in a band, and they were recording at Metalworks, and Burton Cummings was in the next room. They were like mixing some live Guess Who or something like that.
Yeah.
And Burton kept coming into their room by mistake because the studio doors are like beside each other. And he'd come in and it would just be like, oh, gosh, oh, guys, oh, sorry, guys, I'll have a good one, you know, and leave. It started happening so much that he was like, oh, no, like, I didn't mean to do that. Like, I'm actually coming in to talk to you guys.
Aww.
It's like one, it was like, I don't know, like the fifth or sixth time he comes in. And then he just like, you could see him like, he goes and he sits down on the couch. And he's like, yeah, you guys, you want to come over? We got some catering. You come on over there. Come on, have some. Just make sure you guys get over there and have some of that catering. just come popping in every time by mistake.
And what was the catering? Like, was it Mr. Greaves? No.
Yeah, I think it was. I'd like to think so in my head. Got some Mr. Greaves. Come on over here.
Mr. Greek.
Get up before Randy gets it all.
Here's what they have. They have New York fries, which I didn't even know was still a thing. They have a Thai place.
What do you mean? You didn't, New York fries is still banging, man.
Yeah, well, the lineup was bananas. Yeah. And there was a Donair place that was going off. And, like, Saturday night, the food court was bumping.
Is Manchu Wok still about?
Yeah, banging? That's still a thing.
What about Sbarro? Is that more American?
No, I remember that. I didn't see one of those.
Sbarro?
But Thai Express was bumping. People are down with Pad Thai.
Oh, I love that, right?
And then there's, like, Healthy Choice. So
that's a new one.
Yeah, so my mom decides she wants a sandwich from the Healthy Choice, and she gets a chicken sandwich from Healthy Choice, and the guy in plain sight grabs a chicken breast and fires it in the microwave for 2 minutes. Like, that's so healthy, that choice. Hey, it was greasy.
The food court in the Eaton Center is insane how it's got, like, fancy spots in there. Like,
yeah.
They have, like, sushi and then, like, Indian food.
Right.
One time I sat, got Indian food, and it was, like, I ate too much of it, and I was, like, sitting there all, you know, like, after you eat Indian food, all lage, as Joe and Gino Vanelli would say, lage.
Well, I have a rule, food-wise. I can't use my passport to eat for breakfast or lunch.
You can't use your passport to eat.
Yeah, I don't want to travel somewhere far in the world at lunchtime.
I gotcha. You don't want to go all Bourdain for lunch.
No, I don't. I don't.
Or Andrew Zimmern, or whatever his name is. The bald guy who crushes bugs.
Well, yeah, because it's either Nap City, USA,
yeah,
or maybe something doesn't agree with you. Not to be too graphic.
So best to go with the Sbarro.
Well, I like to stay in North America for lunch, and then I'll travel anywhere for dinner. I will travel anywhere in the world for dinner. That's just my rule.
Did you go for the fried whatnot at the place?
Like, we should open a restaurant called Fried Whatnot.
The sweet strips of fried whatnot with glazier on it.
Oh, we didn't. Like a Cinnabon?
No, the Chinese food. You know, they have like the... There's always, like, the fried whatnot that's all sweet.
Well, there were two Chinese places, and one was the deep-fried whatnot, and the other one was, like, the seared beef and chicken.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, we might have gone to Teriyaki Town or something.
Yeah, see, I would have crushed the fried whatnot. Like,
General Gao's chicken?
Yeah, exactly.
The general has taken occupancy of your stomach.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there's a war going on down there, and the general is conducting things.
Hey, let's take a break, and then we're going to come back with this Halloween top five jams.
Spooktacular. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
It's our Halloween spooktacular.
Whoa.
What do you do? Do you get dressed up and stay home and scare the children, or do you go with your kids? What do you do?
No, we get dressed up as a family.
Do you?
Yeah. Lisa was a zombie bride last year.
Love and, that.
I think she's a pirate this year. And I believe I will be going as an elderly woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Who decided?
Well, we kind of threw it around. We have a tickle trunk here.
Love that.
Of all kinds of stuff that we kind of just take out every Halloween. And I just saw the kind of Norman's mom wig from, you know, Psycho, and I just had to go with it.
That's so great.
I'm feeling like I could pull off an elderly woman this year.
Did everyone in the family vote? Like, did everyone have to sign off on you doing that?
No, it's not that big a deal.
Right.
It's just good times. I just hope it's not so cold, because last year it was freezing on Halloween.
Wasn't it snowing?
Yes.
We do country styles because the houses are so far apart where we are.
Yeah, you got to hop in the van and get on it, right?
Hop in the what now?
In the van?
Yeah.
Don't you just go into town or what?
Yeah, we just don't have a van.
Well, no, hop in the truck. Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know why I had to clarify that.
It's just you're taking offense because of your ruralness.
I don't know. I'm not really taking offense.
It's like Alberta styles. What now? Van.
Van.
Driving no van.
I'm driving a loser cruiser.
Wait till you see what we're rolling in when we're on this tour.
What are we rolling in?
In the Yari?
Yeah. Toyota Yaris.
Fit?
The Ford Scootily.
Yes. Neon?
We make up for it being tiny by making it an obnoxiously bright color. So you can't even sneak unknown into a parking lot. You get noticed. Someone told me one of the funniest story I've ever heard once about being at this she Hollywood party, and there were a lot of celebrities there. And the valets were bringing cars up, and it was Porsche, Lambo, whatever. And then somebody comes up in, you know, a Firefly. They're like, Firefly? Got this Firefly here? Firefly? Bunch of folks standing around. No one would claim it.
No way. Really?
Like, you imagine you give your ticket, and then that producer that you're hoping to work with comes out, and they're standing there as your Firefly rolls up, and you're trying to look baller. Yeah.
Jump in the bush.
Firefly, Firefly.
I went to one of those fancy Halloween parties. In
Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles. I think it was Kate Hudson's house and her party.
How'd that go?
Everybody was there. I had no costume. I was with Steve from OLP there. We just picked up some, like, the old go-to convict costume at the Wegmans or whatever the store down there would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just went in there, and it was just ridiculous. Like, everybody from Sacha Baron Cohen to the Chili Peppers to, like, just beyond ridiculous. Like, everybody was somebody, and we were the only nobodies.
See, I would assume for Sacha Baron Cohen that dressing up for Halloween would be the last thing in the world he'd want to do.
Yeah, he's, like, standing there with a drink and, like, a lion costume or something, whatever he was wearing. Everybody had hilarious costumes. You know, I'm sure they were all trying to up each other.
See, that's kind of what I get into. I wear costumes for work all the time. So it's not super fun to get dressed up for Halloween. Anyway, our kids are young enough that we do the early shift. And then we come home and
4:30 to 7, and then crushing candy for 2 hours.
Yeah, and we actually left stuff on our front deck last year, and came home, and none of it had been taken. Like, no one comes.
Yeah, for sure, right?
That's how country styles we are.
Nothing. Nobody.
No. So here's what we're gonna
do out there.
I think we did full bags of chips and full chocolate bars because it was like nobody's coming anyway. You can get into a dangerous thing where you buy your candy too early, and especially with those little chocolate bars, you make deals with yourselves where you say, well, 10 of them equals one regular bar, so I might as well just pound 10.
Is it 10 of them?
No.
No, it's like 3, isn't it?
It's probably 3.
Yeah.
But we had full bags of chips and full chocolate bars. And
I love just the self totally mutilating the truth just to get through it. It's like 10 of them and one of these.
I do that all the time. Do that all the time. Yeah. Carol make chocolate chip cookies and they're awesome. And I'll think, well, if I'm going to have one today and one tomorrow, I might as well have two now and start working it off.
Yeah, because it won't be as tasty tomorrow as it is going to be right now when it's nice and warm.
Well, this is the other thing. Have you ever chucked something in the garbage when you had half of it? Like, all right, enough. I'm throwing this out. And then fished it out of the garbage?
Well, no. The George Costanza? Yeah. The Crabbo?
I've done that.
You've gone after it?
Yeah. If I'm being honest.
Are you a let me have a bite of that sandwich guy?
Yeah. Yeah, are you going to finish that?
You're like, I'll take a bite. I'll try your sandwich.
Are you
like,
going to finish
cares?
That? No, I'm not that guy.
Like, Matt Cause from TSN 1050, that guy, he'll, like, if he sees a sandwich, he'll take a bite out of it. Doesn't matter whose it is. Like,
Really?
He'll be like, "Can I try that sandwich?" And if without asking, he'll just take a bite out of it.
I couldn't be that guy. But John Dunsworth, who plays Mr. Leahy on Trailer Park, I can't remember if we were talking to him about this when he was on TNT, but he will, just as a social experiment, walk to the table beside him in a restaurant and put his pinky on what they're eating and say, "What is this? What did you get?"
Come on.
Yeah, stick his finger right in it.
Stick it in there just to fuck with him.
Just to see.
That's gross, but also starts a thing there.
Well, it starts a conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do your spooktacular top five.
Yeah.
And we thought we would set it at the Quebec Roadside Strip Club, which is in where? St. Louis de Haha? Did we ever decide?
We could go there. Does it have to be a suburb of Montreal?
Rivière-du-Loup? Well, I think it should be far enough away that the women don't have many other options for places to
Sherbrooke?
Dance. Sure. Yeah. Sherbrooke. And what is the name of the club?
The Titi.
Oh, how about, what was the name of the, the song that was the fashion television soundtrack? Remember Obsession? You're my obsession. Obsession. So what if the club is called L'Obsession?
What's it called?
It's Obsession in French. L'Obsession in Sherbrooke.
Okay.
Or so should it be a portmanteau like Skintimate?
Yeah, one of those ones like, "Get popular, girl."
Okay, it's popular, girl.
Okay, so you go with it and it all hit the jam when the...
And they should all, they're all in Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
Because it's a sexy spectacle. Kind of. I also just kind of want to sit in this for a minute because the idea of going to a roadside strip club in Quebec at around Halloween time where the ladies are in costumes is really funny.
So, yeah, it's like a Friday night, too.
Okay. Mesdames et messieurs, I guess there wouldn't be mesdames there. Well, there might be some.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, guys, d'accord, les guys. Bienvenue à Popular Girl ici à Sherbrooke. C'est le Halloween sextacle. A premier sur le stage, first on the stage. Asbird, a friendly ghost, is a Nick. All right, guys, d'accord, guys, make some noise for Asper, the friendly ghost, le fantôme. Où sont tes loonies, puis les toonies, et c'est dans la de Asper, the friendly ghost, c'est Nick. That, the tempo of that song is so unexpected and so hard to dance to.
She just comes stepping up all fast. Okay. Now, go ahead to the next one.
D'accord, les gars, c'est vendredi, it's Friday night. Ici, a popular girl, a Sherbrooke. Prochaine sur le stage, next on stage. Prochaine spectacle, slutty Mother Teresa, Mère Thérèse, it's Ellen. Helen est une étudiante à Laval. Helen is a student at Laval. Mais c'est vendredi soir, but this Friday night, elle dance a popular girl à Sherbrooke. Helen, tout le monde, slutty Mother Teresa. There's so... It begs so many questions. Who's the DJ? Why is she dancing there while going to Laval? What is she studying at Laval? Oh my gosh.
Okay, next.
Vendredi soir continue, Friday night continues. Ici à Popular Girl, ici à Popular Girl. C'est en Sherbrooke, Québec, et prochaine sur le stage, prochain spectacle, c'est Sarah, un firefighter. Regarde les flammes de Sarah.
throw out some drink specials.
Remember, guys, oubliez les gars, c'est seulement $2 pour un Molson 57. Qu'est-ce que vous voulez buvez à côté, aside from Sarah? What would you like to drink, guys? Remember, tip your server. Don't forget to tip your server, c'est a Popular Girl à Sherbrooke. Le spectacle continue maintenant. This name came to me in a dream. I woke up laughing.
Okay, now this will be more mellow.
Oh, yeah.
But who is it? Okay, go for it.
This name came to me in a dream. I woke up laughing at a stripper in Quebec using her real name. Like, she doesn't have any Brandy Snifters kind of clever name. It's just, or Corey Art Breaker. It's just her real name.
Corey Artbreaker.
Prochaine sur le stage, Corey Artbreaker. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Popular Girl, le spectacle continue avec un sexy hippie. Les gars, make some noise pour Marie-Josée Bilodeau. Marie-Josée Bilodeau habite pas loin des sites. Marie-Josée doesn't live far from here. She comes to practice on the lunch break. Elle travaille aussi à Subway. She works at Subway as well. Regarde Marie-Josée Bilodeau, le sexy hippie. A little rock voisine.
Going again. That was perfect when you ended.
Okay, do you have one more?
Yeah.
Dernièrement ce soir, guys, get your toonies and be loonies préparés pour notre dernier spectacle. C'est Sonia, mais ce soir, but tonight, she's oh Sonia Bin Laden. C'est un sexy spectacle. Oh, Sonia Bin Laden. Elle est un thriller, guys. Garde tes wallets là, pis donnez des loonies pis des toonies pour Oh, Sonia Bin Laden. Oh my gosh, I want so badly to go to that place. I want so badly to be there.
Real party.
A Halloween spooktacular at a roadside strip club in Quebec on its last fumes is really funny to me. Especially because you know how much work they did or didn't put into their costumes. Osama bin Laden, that was like a mask
that
from
was a good one.
4 years ago. Oh.
Oh, it was good times on that top five.
D'accord, les guys. Great songs, bud. Let's take a break on this TNT 52, and we'll keep rolling after this.
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom!
And we're back on number 52.
Breaking news, bud. Tell the people.
Canadianity contest, week one.
Beer with Bods. For the next few weeks, we're going to be giving away a couple of tickets to our show in whatever town the winner happens to be closest to. So we'll do different contests every week for the next few weeks, right, bud?
Yes. But the winner of each week will get to hang out with us for a little while, and we'll buy you a beer.
We'll call it Beer with a Bod. It'll be like before the show in whatever town.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's contest, in honor of Halloween at Popular Girl, we were thinking would be funny if you, the people, came up with a Canadianity costume.
Yeah, most Canadian costume.
What is the best Canadian costume? Hashtag Canadianity contest.
Yes.
And let's pick a winner. We should pick a time when we're going to pick a winner, right?
Yeah, we'll pick a winner this week before the next episode, and then we'll have a new question for the next episode, which will all kind of go under the umbrella of the Canadianity contest.
I love that. And we'll announce the winner on the next episode, and we'll tell the new contest on the next episode, too.
Yeah, and we'll have it, hopefully, the winner obviously will live close to one of these cities, because we're getting to most of them, with exception to a few great ones that we will get to in the future. And please don't blame us, because promoters are a little bit strict to what they take in these days.
Well, and to be honest, Vancouver and St. John's are two places that we really intend to get and hope to get. Yeah. But as we've said before, we just have to prove there's an audience to it. For it, and this time hopefully the buzz will show up, and then that'll broaden our horizons for next time.
Absolutely.
So to recap, we are having a Canadianity contest. We want you, the listener, to come up with the best Canadianity costume. That's this week's contest. Bonus points, I would say, for pictures of your costume.
Kind of has to happen.
But we'll pick the best one. Hashtag yes. Canadianity contest. You want to buy
Taggart and Torrance Twitter.
We'll get beer with a bud in before one of the shows on our upcoming tour.
So again, tweet us at Taggart and Torrens with the Canadianity contest with a photo of your most Canadian costume for Halloween.
Awesome. There's one other piece of housekeeping I would like to share.
Yeah.
Derek, who's our bud, helping with merch.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him yesterday. He said orders are coming in, and that's so awesome because this is a new endeavor for all of us. He's saying folks that buy merch should know it might be 2 to 3 weeks before they get their merch. But okay. Obviously there are some growing pains as we figure out how all this works. Thank you for your orders. The stuff is on the way. And if you haven't received it yet, you will soon. We also designed our tour t-shirt, didn't we, bud?
Yeah. We've got a nice little shirt. It's got the Peter and Nash shot on it, which is blessed by Peter Mansbridge himself.
Yeah. What
and
a dude
have the tour
he
dates
is.
On the back.
As you know, if you listen to the podcast, we use this picture of Knowlton Nash and Peter Mansbridge, which we just kind of started using. Tags found it, and it's so awesome. It really is Canadianity.
It is. It kind of, since the day one, really, it's been the image. And, It's hilarious because I'm sure there might be one or two people that think that we are one of those people.
Yeah. So I emailed Peter to say, hey, first of all, I hope this is okay that we're using this image. And second of all, we'd like to use it on the poster for our tour, but certainly don't want to do it if you don't think that, you know, it's a nice picture or you don't think that Knowlton would have liked that or whatever. Like, you never know the history behind something.
For sure.
Might have been an awful day in his life, and he doesn't even want to have to see it. And he wrote back instantly and said, of course, thanks for asking. Use it in whichever way you wish, which is Canadianity in and of itself.
It really is.
He's a dude.
He is, and that's the great story of just even the story between both of those guys is perfect Canadianity as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nonstop Canadianity, and it's going to look good on a shirt.
Sure is.
Hey, I can wear it because it's not me on it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I love merch, but I do feel badly wearing something that says Trailer Park Boys on it because I feel like I'm trying to drum up attention.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever wear OLP merch?
No. But yeah, that for that same reason.
Yeah. You don't want to be that guy.
No. No. But I've always liked the... Sometimes if it's just really anonymous and some t-shirts were just, it's just an illustration that has nothing to do with the band name or anything can be, I could handle that like a Salvador shirt.
Yeah.
Did you remember that? Have we told that story about the Salvador shirt guy?
Yeah. So we hosted Fred Rock in Fredericton, which was really fun. As we mentioned, nice folks and good bands and stuff. And there was an after party on the first night. We were selling Salvatore t-shirts as merch. and there's a guy wearing a Salvatore t-shirt, and Tags and I said, like, oh, that's so great to see you wearing Salvatore. Like, it's so fulfilling to see someone out in public wearing that shirt. And he was like, who's Salvatore?
Yeah.
Who's Salvatore? He,
and then he went on and on about not knowing anything about the shirt, us, yeah. Taggart and Torrens.
So I don't even know what happened. Like, it was raining. Did he get wet and he bought the shirt
because
it was dry?
No, he put it over his other shirt and he had a jacket on over that.
He just liked the image.
He said he just liked the shirt, and he was like, didn't really want to talk about it any more than that. Because then he had more questions. He'd
right.
Like, avoid it. Which is kind of just my favorite story ever, because just randomly talking to the guy, and he had that shirt on.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny story. But it's funny that, like, how... RJ Logan and Salvador and Bri Ashley, these people get ingrained in people's memories.
I know.
And even sometimes I don't remember what they're talking about.
No, I know. That's the other thing, for sure. So you're about to embark on a bit of a ridiculous trip, but in a way, you're getting practiced up on your driving.
Yeah, I am. Going on a little pre-tour with the family. Yeah. We're flying to... Boise, Idaho, and then driving back.
Wow.
Which is pretty wild. We're our travels are well documented as a family, but we're driving back a motorhome. Or as I heard someone say, a toter home, because they apparently have a long history of breaking down.
Are you going to the Grand Canyon after you pick it up?
We don't really know. It's so, the whole thing is so Griswold.
Yeah.
But the idea is if...
You need a couple Six Flags, are you?
Yeah. Some more Mr. Magic experiences.
Yeah.
I think what we're probably going to do is hopefully go somewhere where it's warm. So I've actually not spent much time in that part of America. But I'm really interested to, like, Montana and the Dakotas. But it could well be snowy at this time of year. So I think we're going to drive south. To New Mexico, Arizona, that kind of area. And
you'll be enjoying the big skies.
Yeah. It is beautiful, and it is fun to have time together as family, but school just gets in the way.
That's just school, man.
Yeah.
Did you like school when you were in your kid's age? Were you into it?
I liked the social aspect of school. I liked the kids that I went to school with, but I think I can say that... The subjects that interested me, I did pretty well in, and the ones that didn't, I didn't. A lot of it came down to the teacher and their ability to engage. Mm-hmm. Did you?
I think because I bounced around so much. I went to like 6 or 7 different schools between kindergarten and grade 9. And so I was literally bouncing around and being the new kid so much that... started getting sick of school by the time I was grade 7 or 8.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
grade 7 was the hardest year of my life because I moved to Halifax from PEI, and I'd never been the new kid, never been the kid with no friends, and that was brutal.
That's when you started your collection of one-liners.
I guess so.
Right?
Yeah, like try to be a social sniper.
Just try, yeah.
Throw some jokes out there.
I see you in the corner saying something about me. I'm going to... make you feel uncomfortable before this gets out of hand.
Yeah.
Like, there's always the kid who has to fight you. Like, that's what he does at the school. Like, what's up with that guy? But I remember fighting this one kid in, like, Alliston. I just had just got to the school, and I fought that kid, like, twice a week.
Why twice a week?
He was just the fight guy, like that. Like, I'm going to pick on you because you're new.
Well, how many times do you have to fight him before it's like, all right, I guess you're okay?
Well, it was cool because it was, like, he wasn't that, like, he was a real, like, kind of rangy kind of fighter, but he wasn't that strong. So it was actually, it was kind of fulfilling because, like, I felt I could beat him up. So it was just, like, nonstop defending myself and then never really... beating him up too badly to have it, like, stop, I guess.
What was your strategy as a fighter? Were you a duck and weave, or were you just an all-in haymaker machine?
Yeah, no, I would avoid it. I would just try and, like, first show strength by either grabbing or trying to stop it, or shoving or pushing, and then, like, kicks and punches to the back if it got out of hand.
Wow.
And then if it's, like, I would never be, like, sometimes, I didn't fight that much older than that, you know what I mean? So it's still kid fighting, so you're just not trying to kill the person or whatever.
Like some slapping.
Yeah, no smacks and hair pulling. I remember one kid pulled my hair in like grade 3 or something, and he was pulling my hair so hard that it actually didn't hurt anymore. It almost was like I didn't even feel it.
I love that.
Yeah.
That he pulled it right through the pain.
In Mulmer Mono near Shelburne, Ontario. New Kid Part 1.2. Just ripping my hair.
I kind of feel like it would be so fun to track some of these people down. And
well, I remember the one kid that I used to fight all the time. I think his name was Sean in Alliston. He ended up becoming like a real tough kid. Like, you did not want to fuck with him in high school. Like, he was like, he would still fight people, but he figured it out, I guess. He was a lot better at it. And he became like a real, like, if you're going to mess with anybody, don't fuck with that guy.
So is he, in jail? Things,
what's that?
Is he in jail?
Probably ended up along that path. But yeah, he was already like getting into big time trouble.
I know that when Facebook started, a lot of folks were like, oh, whatever happened to whatever, Amanda Gugliani, my crush in grade 3. Mm-hmm. A big part of what I did on Facebook was like, oh, whatever happened to that bully or that tough kid that, you know, used to threaten it. And it was a great way to track people down because there was some good old-fashioned LOLing to be done. Like, yeah. Oh, man, remember? Oh, yeah, sorry about that, dude. Oh, no problem.
Nice. I totally know what you're talking about, and because I bumped around a lot, and you tend to forget the bullies' names.
But you look at it through your kids' eyes, and they do have an emotional life, even if to us the problems don't seem serious. To them, it's everything.
It's awful. No, it's horrible. I find it to be like, yeah, I agree with you, but it's so obvious, especially when they don't understand why somebody's saying something mean about them.
Yeah.
And they've grown up just living and not really understanding somebody saying something about your appearance or making fun of your clothes or, you know, anything. When kids that do that, generally the kids that are doing that are unhappy, period. So they're just trying to lash out on everybody else. And it's always I know one of my boys definitely, when it's come to bullying, he's almost like taken that as, you don't mean that. You're just trying to be nice still. So actually those are the kids that are getting more attention because your kid's just trying to play it off. You know what I mean?
Wow. So, that's really cool.
Yeah. But it's still rough. Like because it's relentless when a kid is really being that way.
So your boys are older than, my girls.
9 and 7.
Yeah. So you've had to, tangle with some of this stuff. Yeah, what do you say to your kid if a kid says, I don't want to play with you? Like, it makes me want to shove a toddler.
What, when the kid is saying they don't want to play with your kid?
Yeah, if your kid is telling you, like, yeah, so-and-so said they didn't want to play with me when I put myself out there and tried to play with them.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's gone on to, like, if, you know, it's more, why is that kid always fight me at recess or try to fight me? Or if I'm with one guy, then that other guy will come always and try and fight me. That's what it's like. You'd think nowadays when bullying is lessened by the awareness of it, it's not. It's just as bad as it always was, if not worse.
So what do you say to them? Don't sweat that guy, or...
Yeah, you just tell them. Like, you say kids can be angry and they're just upset and... It's not really about you. You know, it's just you're having to deal with somebody who's not that happy, and you just got to try and not think about what they're saying.
Right. And I guess the other thing you have to always come back to is we all went through it. We all turned out okay. This socialization is just a rite of passage for a kid. And the you know, self-esteem swell that you feel after making friends and getting through it is also really valuable, good stuff, right?
For sure. No, that's it. That's it right there. Take it easy on the kids. It's heartbreaking to watch, and the fact that it's rampant. It's like hell on earth.
Is. And there's, you don't want to be the helicopter parent, but man, it makes you mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure does, bud. Or,
I've been at like a McDonald's play yard in the wintertime or something, and like you have the one kid that's just totally pushing and punching and attacking other kids, and their parents are absolutely oblivious to it.
Oh,
and
it's, man. Like,
yeah, that's typical that you're that kind of a parent and your kid's doing that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not a big deal, or who cares? I'm too busy doing something else. It's generally, it's the kid has so much time on their hands that they decided that other people's, you know, happiness is something that they got to play with.
Well, and the other weird thing is, if you're getting attention, even if it's getting in trouble, that's still attention, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Totally. Yeah, let's take a break.
It's shocking to me, just as one little footnote.
What?
It's shocking to me how few or how many parents haven't taught their kids even the basic, like, that's a little kid. Be nice to that little kid. You're a big kid, like that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you see 10-year-old boys butting in front of my 4-year-old girl. That stuff drives me crazy. Oh, my God, I'm a helicopter dad.
Hot
we'll be
takes.
Right back on TNT.
Come back, will you?
And we're back, and we're going to play one more round of the top five.
Okay, guys. You're going
right now. Okay, hit it.
Bienvenue encore à Popular Girl, c'est le sexy Halloween sextacle ce soir. Ici de Ontario, elle vient de Keswick, c'est Julie. Love is greasy. D'accord, guys, Julie est un petit chaton. It's a little kitty cat. Ce soir, j'ai une slutty kitty. Voilà, Julie, la slutty kitty avec Alana Miles.
So fucking
meow. Brow. 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 Merci pour venir à Popular Girl ce soir puis entendre Taggart et puis Torrens. C'est numéro 52, on te parlera plus tard. Pour Jeremy Taggart, c'est moi, Jonathan Torrens. À la prochaine fois. A girl in a cat costume dancing to Alana Miles in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Does it get much better?
The dart going.
With half an export A green and an inch long ash. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
And a bottle of beer.
Gross. Some piss worm the bat blue.
Happy Halloween.
Take care, bud. Boom, gong, gang, go, ka-ding, gong. Ju, boom, bow. Sa-dum, do, da, doom, bam, bam, ta-ka-doom, da. Oh, what a night!